All right, we're going to jump right in. I have a lot to say today. I'm really, really excited. I'll tell you, this download came yesterday morning, and I have to say that I was stunned at this one. I'll tell you, I walked around my house for a couple hours with my jaw just dropped, you know, because sometimes the Lord will just, he'll astonish you, to be honest with you. And I got an entire download of the history of the King Priest government and it's and what he wants to do. And so this word is prophetic in itself in what's coming to the body of Christ, what's already in seed form, but what will be exploding in the very near future. And I will finish this next week. Well, I'll go to part two next week. I'll say that. Well, I want to get into the weight of this message. So we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I pray you hold on tight today. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you Holy Spirit concentration here, because we're going to give you some very heavy things today, and we want you to emerge out of this message not just with factual knowledge, but with the image and the faith of what God wants to do in our generation. Amen? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Holy Spirit, we ask today that you supernaturally keep us in your word today. Fix our concentration today. We ask it, Father, in your mighty name, that you would keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll look at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. In other words, he was not called out of a natural succession of priests. God had to call him by an oath. He called him outside of the Levitical order. He had to do it because he represented an entirely different priesthood with a different function, a different calling, and a different purpose. So God called him outside and at the Jordan. He said, this is my beloved son. Listen to this. Nothing is ever done without a commission. God will commission. He commissioned his own son. Paul was commissioned. God will always commission something in the earth. And he'll make preparation for that commissioning. Amen. Verse 6, he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, it's the only time it was mentioned like that, and that was in Psalms 110. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is what we want to talk about today, the order of Melchizedek. He's going to mention this same verse, order of Melchizedek, seven times in the book of Hebrews, so you don't miss it. Seven is God's perfect number. And so he wanted the perfection of this priesthood. It had to come outside a Levitical priesthood. Perfection could not be obtained through the Levitical priesthood. But it was obtained in Christ. Amen. Look at verse 10. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? There was no lineage with Melchizedek. A priest. He didn't come through a lineage, a natural succession. A priest. God called Melchizedek by an oath. He called him to be a priest. He was a priest and a king, which is very amazing. Amen. Verse 11. I want to put this in here today because we're going to get into some heavy stuff. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing that we're dull of hearing, but that is not us today. Everyone, amen? Say, I am not dull of hearing. We're going to hear what he wants to say. Paul said this for a reason. This is a very advanced book. but it was for advanced people. And the kind of meat of what he was saying was going to introduce a level of God's glory in the earth that wasn't present. Some of the greatest things, if you approach it by fact, we'll get nothing. If we approach by revelation, when the Holy Spirit transfers revelation to our spirit, there'll be birth. Amen? We're looking for birth, not birth of head knowledge. We want to be people of revelation. Amen? All right? Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 7. Actually, chapter 6, verse 19. The two times the order of Melchizedek was mentioned, chapter 5, once in chapter 6, four times in chapter 7, the exact word, order of Melchizedek, order of Melchizedek, order of Melchizedek. Twice in chapter 5, once in chapter 6, four times in chapter 7, because chapter 7 is loaded. Everyone say loaded. All right. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to tell you a little bit about who Melchizedek is. Very important we understand what happened with him, because we're going to get into the covenant today. And there was a reason why he visited Abraham in chapter 14 before. Here's some revelation for you. Ready? Chapter 14 comes before chapter 15. Isn't that deep? I told you we were going to be deep today. Well, chapter 15 is where he cut the covenant. And there was a reason why that blessing had to come on Abraham before he went into that covenant. We'll see that today. Amen? All right, Hebrews 6, those are signs of good things to come. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into, see, our hope that produces faith is going somewhere. Amen. If you don't have a compass of where you're going, we'll beat the air. We're going to follow our high priest. Look where he went. Which entereth into that within the veil. Holy of Holies. Except the Holy of Holies was transferred into the heavens. Whither the forerunner is for us has entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He passed through that veil, the high priest, it passed into the heavens. He laid his blood on the mercy seat in the heavens. He made it through. The Levitical priesthood always stopped short of that. That's why their priests had to come year after year, because the way to the holiest of all was not yet manifested. But this one went through the veil and he sat down. Guess who went with him? You went with him through that veil and you get to sit down. Now, that'll just be a fact. That's truth, but you can make that reality. If you allow the Word of God to forge that inside of you, your faith will release and you'll move into your heavenly seat where you're blessed with all spiritual blessing. Amen. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He would not have asked you to seek something if you did not have access. That's why we have access, amen? But this priest, he said, you're called after the order of Melchizedek. So he brings that into chapter 7, verse 1. He said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Here we have a dynamic right here. We're good about to see this dynamic explode upon the body of Christ. This government is birthing in fullness in this last hour, the dynamic birth of the king priest. Amen. He was king and he was priest of Salem. Do you know where Jerusalem got his name? If you haven't amplified it, it'll say he was king of Jerusalem. Salem. Melchizedek resided in Jerusalem as the very first king priest before David ever moved the ark there. He was the original king priest of Jerusalem. He was carrying it as the forerunner, called directly of God as a king and a priest. When you get the full ramification of this, as we go through this message, you'll understand the weight of that, of what this man was carrying. All right. This Melchizedek, king, you can put Jerusalem, priest of the Most High. We have a king and we have a priest. Where does he reside? In the throne of Zion. God moved it. Jerusalem, David took it over. He was another king priest, gave it to Solomon, another king priest. And then he brought it in to Zion, and the Father released that operation of Zion. That, my friend, is where we sit down and rule and reign from that seat. Amen. Now, look at this. Verse one and a half. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. That was there, that battle of Chedorlaomer. Abraham took 318 servants. And he won that battle, restored all. And Melchizedek blessed him. Whew. And that's where Abraham tithed to him. Abraham, there was something in that blessing. There was something he was carrying that caused Abraham to recognize his authority was greater than his own. The king of Salem, or the king of Sodom, was right there witnessing all this. And the king of Sodom, and over in chapter 14, told Abraham, he says, look, you keep the goods, just give me the people you rescued. And he says, no, I won't take nothing from you. He didn't recognize the authority of the king of Sodom, but of Salem. When Melchizedek stood in front of him, the kings were right next to each other. And when Melchizedek stood in front of him, he actually tithed into Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek blessed him. Now, it's very important we understand what happened here. Now, watch this. Verse 6. I'll clear a few things up here about Melchizedek, but I want to get into this. But he whose descent, Melchizedek's descent, is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed, if you're going to underline anything, underline this, blessed him that had the promises. Melchizedek recognized that Abraham was carrying the promises. More importantly, there was in his loins a succession of kings and priests going to come down the loins. There were going to be kings, there were going to be priests, but then there was going to be one king priest that was going to change the world. Melchizedek was forerunning, just like John the Baptist was forerunning. Melchizedek was forerunning. He was king and priest of Jerusalem. And when he saw Abraham had the promises, he looked down into that seed. He saw him. And he blessed him that had the promises because he knew the one he was forerunning for was standing right there. It's in his loins. He said, I'll bless you. What he was blessing was that seed to come. I bless him with the same. I'm called of the Father outside of the priestly lineage. I was called a king priest. I was called by an oath. And there's one in your loins that's called by an oath. And he won't come out of the line of Levi. There'll be another one. God's going to call him outside of that line. And he'll have the same DNA. And I bless and release my DNA right there. That's what he did when he blessed him. That's powerful. That's really powerful considering that there was a covenant coming in the very next chapter. That blessing preceded the covenant. That happened in Genesis 14, by the way. Right after that is when God called him and cut the covenant with him. I'll look at that in a minute. Let me just clarify a few things about Melchizedek. For people that think he was like an angel floating around in the earth. Verse 3, he said, now it's real important you understand something about him too. Look at verse 3. He says, without father and without mother. This is the problem. If you read one verse, you're going to get in big trouble. Without father, without father, without a mother. Wow. What day did God just pop you into the earth? Were you popped in at 5 years old, 18, 20? Without descent. Made like unto the Son of Man. Well, Jesus had a father and a mother. Had a natural mother. God was his father. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Oh, Melchizedek just goes on and on and on. He's probably in here with us right now, wouldn't you think? He didn't have a father and mother, he was saying, because in the priestly line of the Levites, there was always a successor of the high priest. See, there was a predecessor, and then there was a successor. And what happened when the high priest died, automatically by lineage alone, he was called, because he was called after the order of what was called the carnal commandment in the Levitical, in the book of the book of Leviticus. I kept saying Levitical. The book of Leviticus, he called the priest automatically. All right? When he called them automatically, they are automatically called into that lineage. But his descent was not counted among them. He had no father that came out of a priestly line. He had no mother that came out of a priestly line, because God called him outside the priestly line. There was no record of father. There was no record of mother. There was no record of a beginning of days of his priesthood. There was no record of an end of days of his priesthood. Now that's important, because the Levites, there was record. He was called outside that line, but it witnessed that he lived. Now this is important, because this is why I actually believe. I'm going to tell you why I believe Melchizedek was raptured. I believe he received the blessing of Enoch. He received the blessing of Elijah. And actually, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was trying to obtain the same resurrection. He was trying to obtain it. He wanted to be raptured. What an incredible blessing. Not very many men did this. I believe Melchizedek did. And here's why I believe it. I'll give you 4 points before we get over into the covenant. The first one is Hebrews 6:20. Whither the forerunners for us entered into the veil, he went into the heavens, called after the order of Melchizedek. Because I believe Melchizedek in his priesthood, in forerunning for Christ, he passed into the heavens. Y'all stay with me now, I told you. He passed into the heavens. I believe he passed into the heaven. I believe he did not suffer a natural death. That's number one. Number two, verse 3, he didn't have a father in the priestly lines. He had a father and a mother. He was birthed. He was a king of a city. He had a father and mother. He just didn't come out of the priestly line. He had no predecessor. He had no successor. Just like ours. There's no predecessor. Christ, born brand new. He was born a brand new. Amen? What he brought into the earth, no other priest brought into the earth. And there would be nobody after him. He is a continuing high priest, mediator for us. Amen? Without descent, neither having beginning of days, look at this, nor end of life. I believe he was raptured, no end of life. See that? Like unto the Son of God. Look at verse 4. Consider how great this man was that Abraham recognized his authority. Listen, Abraham, I'm going to move off this in a minute. I'm just trying to show you something. Abraham overcame death. He birthed out of a dead womb. Do you understand that? It was necessity he did that, because God was also going to birth out of a dead womb. He had to do it first. That's part of the covenant. We'll look at that in a minute. Now, if Abraham could overcome death, this man was greater of authority than even Abraham. How much more could Melchizedek be raptured, see? Isn't that awesome? Now this priest, as we get going here, this blessing, this DNA is in you. That's why you have the authority to enter into the resurrection. You have authority to step in. Your spirit has all this DNA in you. You have authority to step in to the resurrection. Amen. One more. Verse 15. For as yet it is far more evident. For that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. It was necessity that he passed into the heavens as a forerunner. All right. Now let's go back over there now to Genesis chapter 14. All right. All right. Y'all got to connect with me here. I'll be losing you. He said in chapter 5, some of this is hard things. I don't want you floating off. I want you to catch what I'm about to say here, all right? Everyone say, I'm with you. My spirit's going to go out and grab you. Genesis 14, verse 18. This is where it happened. Right here. Now remember, Melchizedek saw him that had the promises, right? And Melchizedek, king of Salem, or Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. But you know the earth was not fully in possession of the Father because Adam turned it over to the devil when he was deceived. Do you know that? And the devil was reigning through a kind of a fallen lease system over the earth. That's why he became the God of this world system. But Melchizedek said, no, God possessor of heaven and earth, because he saw within Abraham that promise of one to come that's going to get it all back. He looked into his loins and saw it. And he was releasing the blessing of that forerunner anointing, that government that was on his life. He released that into Abraham. And he blessed him that had the promises. And when he released that blessing, something amazing happened. Because he was standing as a king. He set that anointing of kings into Abraham's lineage. Now God came to Abraham twice before chapter 14. He came to him in chapter 12. He came to him in chapter 13. Speaking of the promises. It wasn't until chapter 17 for the first time a king was mentioned. Kings would come out of your loins. Everyone said kings. Why? Because that DNA was set into him through that blessing. See, Melchizedek set that government into Abraham's loins. Now, let's look at 12 real quick. Chapter 12. Now the Lord, verse 1, said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and the land I will show thee. This is when God wants to do something new. Sometime he'll do some separation. You can't fight that. When God's wanting to birth something, sometimes you'll go through some things. You'll go through a lonely period. It's because you're going to get to know him there. He don't want a lot of distraction. God has a winnowing fork. He keeps things small sometimes for a reason. And once it bursts, it begins to multiply. He'll start adding everything to it. If you were called and you birthed that brother, let's say the faith movement, that's something that's already birthed into the earth. If you were called to facilitate that, I'm telling you, all I got to do is plug in, gain the knowledge of it, receive the anointing of it, and flow with it because it's already flowing. That's easy. What if you're called to birth into something that's not in the earth? Where are you going to go to get it? That's why there's always somebody greater. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. He had to release what was in him upon him, so he could birth that, because he knew God was about to cut a covenant with him. And God had that blessing beforehand of the king-priest government reciting, because there was one that was going to come out called after that order of king-priest. And that's the one that we came into, and that DNA is in us. Now you're back. You're back. I lost you there for a little while, but you're back. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out. Verse 2. I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Nothing mentioned about kings, by the way. We're going to get into the kings next Sunday. Oh, man, there's some heavy stuff. The kings come out of the blessing of Judah. The kings rose up. That king-priest DNA come right up out of that line. Oh, man, that's amazing. This government's birthing, you know. Good, chapter 13. Let's look at verse 14. The Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land thou seest, I will give it, and thy seed forever. God gave him a covenant for the land, a covenant for natural Israel, and he also gave him a covenant for spiritual. The sand of the seashore, that was the covenant for natural Israel. The stars of the heaven, that was the covenant. Why did he see stars of heaven? Because that was ours, because we were going to be raised with him into the heavens. See? You are those stars. Say, I'm a star. I am a star. All right, ready? Verse 16, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man can number the dust of the earth. Thou shalt, seed shall be numbered. Now it's chapter 14, right after this. So God speaks to him twice. He brings him in, and Melchizedek meets him right there with a blessing. Because he's carrying. Now see, God impregnated his spirit with a promise. He got enough of the promise in for Melchizedek to come along and said, now I'll commission that promise. Nothing happens without a commission. There is a king-priest government coming into the earth to be commissioned. This all started back with Melchizedek. See, Melchizedek, when he blessed Abraham, he blessed him that had the promise. He was commissioning that seed within him. All right? Are you with me? Let's look at the covenant. Right after this is chapter 14. All right? Right after Melchizedek blesses him, he goes to chapter 15. So let's look at chapter 15. Y'all hang on. I'm going to say something good here in a minute. Chapter 1. I think. Oh, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, after Melchizedek commissioned the seed. Now, it's very important you understand something. Just put your finger there. Go to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. We'll go to Galatians here in a minute, but I want you to go to chapter 3 real quick. I want you to look at verse 16. It's very important you understand what's going on in this covenant. And every time God's talking to Abraham, who he's talking to. All right. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed. Seed, say seed. Were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, that one seed, which is Christ. Okay? When God's talking to Abraham, he's talking about a natural seed, and he's also talking about another king priest that's going to come out of his loins. Christ. All right? Look at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed Christ should come whom the promise was made. He was talking to his son in Abraham's loins. All right. We'll get in that in a minute. Go back over. Back to Genesis 15. I want to see this covenant. This is amazing. Now, get this picture. God divinely impregnates Abraham twice. He comes and speaks the blessing of generational inheritance. He said, your seed will multiply as the nations of the earth. And then he brings a king priest that he commissioned by an oath of Jerusalem, forerunning for the one that's in his loins. And he comes and blesses. He comes and blesses. Who was the promise made? The seed singular. He's blessing that seed with what's in him. That's why he's called after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek commissioned that seed in him. So right after this, now God brings Abraham into the covenant. He's going to cut the covenant with him. Chapter 15. After these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord, what will thou give me, seeing that I go childless, and this steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Oh, God straightened him out right here. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came and said, this shall not be thine heir, but he will come forth, and thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now, Abraham's somewhere between 75 years old and 86. Because 86, he tries to produce it. Now, here, get what's going on here. Abraham said, God, what are you going to give me? You're talking to me about nations. I don't have an heir. Abraham, he says, I have no heir. You're talking to me about nations. He goes, and it's amazing when God starts talking to us, we start working it out. This is the first thing Abraham's doing. He's working it out right here. How about Eleazar? He's great. He's been raised in my house. He's like a son. Let's use him, God. That part of you is what's got to die. That's why it took 25 years for Abraham to birth. Because that part didn't stop there at Eleazar. The next chapter went into Ishmael. Keep trying to help God out. He puts you on the backside of the desert till all that's done. Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael and Abraham. We all had Ishmael and Isaac. We all have both those sons in us. One's got to die. One will live. If you're in that process where God is with a winnowing fork carving out the second son, you might as well let him. What are you going to do? Because he'll demand an exaltation from the Father. He'll try to rise up in you and try to demand. That's what's wrong with the church. There's too much Ishmael going on. There's not enough of the promise of Isaac being released into our generation, because when that promise gets released, it gets released with glory. It gets released with power. It gets released with heaven's backing upon it. Heaven backs Isaac. But Isaac will be born of promise in no other way. Ishmael can be born of what we can do. Ishmael is the foundation of human sufficiency, which is mostly working in the church today. All right? So Abraham and the father are having this discourse. Y'all with me? And he said, God, I don't have an heir. How about Eleazar? He said, no. And God's saying, you know, Abraham, I don't have an heir either. I lost my first heir, Adam. I'll tell you what, Abraham, this is because he's already promised it to him. He goes, I need an heir, and you need an heir. That's what's happening here. He goes, we'll cut a covenant. All that is mine is yours. All that is yours is mine. I'll promise you an heir, and I'll also promise me an heir through you. I'm going to bring an heir that's already in you, Abraham. I've already blessed him. I've already brought my king priest. Melchizedek's already put the blessing on him. The blessing was already on him. Let's cut a covenant. Now, oh, I love it. Man, the word's so wonderful. Wow. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this shall not be thine heir, but he that will come forth out of thine own bowels. Verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven now. Guess what? He starts talking to him about our covenant. Look now, the stars of the heaven. He already put the sand of the seashore in him. That was the natural covenant with Israel, still going on to this day. Covenant of land, covenant with the people. Never stop that covenant. He introduces another one, the stars of the heaven. These are the ones that are going to raise up into the heavens because this air is going to pierce the veil, this true air. And when he goes through the veil, we're going to go with him. And our home will be the rest in the glory of the Father. We will inherit the Father in heavenly places. That is a full inheritance that we're going to realize in this last hour. Amen. So he introduces the stars of the heaven. Had to. He was going to get all this in the covenant. See, he put the, notice how the Father slipped that right in before the covenant was cut. You see that? He got sand of the seashore. He's got stars of the heaven. He's got Melchizedek's blessing of the king priest, which his son's going to be born after that order. Okay. He got all that in there before he cuts this covenant. God knows what he's doing. He's birthing again, my friends. That government's coming out of the loins of the one that's within us. He will rule and reign in the earth with great authority and great power. Verse 9. So he takes a heifer and a goat and a ram and they cut him in half, all right? And he has the birds, the fowls there. He cuts these in half because in the covenant they kind of make a figure eight through it, right? They walk through it. Now look at what happens here. In verse 10, he took unto verse 9, take me a heifer of 3 years, a she-goat of three, a ram of three, turtle doves and pigeons. God is into threes, I'm telling you. He's major into threes. Third day, third hour, third season. You'll never get away from God's threes. Isn't that right, Joanne? She had a dream about threes. Verse 11. And when the fowls of the air, verse 10, and he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. He cuts them in half. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? Cut them things right down in half. Animal activists would be all over us. And he took them, divided them in the midst and laid each piece against. Now watch this. Let me tell you something. When God gets ready to do something of this magnitude, he does not need your help. And when you so much as try to steady an ark that's on the move, you will get burned. You have to learn to walk next to the ark without touching it. And Abraham was about to find this out too. All right? Watch this. Watch. Abraham, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham stands up and drives them away. Shoo, 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 shoo. God doesn't need our shooing when he gets ready to birth. The farther you get away, the better. But not too far, because he has to use you, but he can't have your hands on it. Abraham was backpacking the ark right here. He was putting his hand to the ark. God said, I don't need you moving the fowls around. I can handle this on my own. Because Abraham doesn't realize what actually is happening here. Chapter 3 of Galatians tells us what's happening here. All right. So there's blessings in there. So look what happens. God will do this. Sometimes these are whole seasons, my friend. What's about to happen here? Verse 12. And when the sun went down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham and said, look, I got to get you out of the way. Go to bed. He puts a deep sleep. Why? He does not want any flesh involved when he gets ready to birth. God does not want flesh. See, remember, next chapter, Abraham was going to birth Ishmael. God knew what was in him. So when God gets ready to do something, he puts, sometime we get put asleep for a whole season. He's getting you out of the way. So what are you doing? Well, I'm sleeping right now, but he'll awake me soon. Now watch this. And when the sun, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness. That was pure glory that came over him. Now, Abraham's in a deep sleep, right? Glory's all over him. But there's a part of him that's not sleeping. Your body might be sleeping, your body, but something else is quite alive. They're in the covenant. He just put the part of him, he put this deep glory on him. The part of him that's going to get in the way, he put him to sleep. You can say this, the part of you that's getting in the way, he's going to put that one to the cross. The other one is going to come up to where he is. You're going to be present. While one part of you is sleeping, a whole another part of you is rising into resurrection. Amen! Ah! What's he said? And a deep sleep fell upon Abraham in a horror of great darkness. And he said to Abraham, somebody's talking to him while there's a deep sleep on him. Because his spirit wasn't sleeping. Somebody's getting this in here. See, that deep sleep was on him. Whoa. But God was talking to him. He just got him out of the way. I said, oh, Abraham. And he said unto him, and while he's talking to him, watch this. While he's talking to him, he starts reaffirming the covenant. Now, the covenant is being affirmed right here. All right. He said, know for a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in the land. Verse 14, and the nation whom thou serve I will judge, and afterwards they'll come out with great substance. Listen, the kingly anointing's coming out first. When he brought them out with the wealth of Egypt. Then he built the tabernacle. Zerubbabel and Joshua, the king and the priest sitting in Babylon, brought them out with a grant from Cyrus. Then they built the temple. David was crowned in Mount Hebron first, the mountain of generational inheritance. Then he brought it to Jerusalem to build the temple and the priesthood. The kingly anointing will birth first. It will march. This will not be a garage sale or a bake sale, what's coming, my friend. The kingly anointing will come with great power. And God's kings will rise up in the midst, and they will be a breed of king priests that will receive it. And the kings will receive the blessing for the priesthood that will come shortly following, because the Melchizedek government is in us. It's in our loins. The kingly anointing will be received first. Isn't that awesome? Peter got the catch in John 21 before the commission for the book of Acts. That was last Sunday's message. Okay, now you're caught up. Amen? So this deep sleep, he's affirming the covenant. Look at verse 17. Love this. Whew, man, you are with me. I like it. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. See, God's glory was all around. Abraham was sleeping, but he was witnessing a smoking furnace and a burning lamp pass between those pieces. He came down, walked through those burning, the smoking lamp and the burning furnace, walked through. It says, now, Abraham, I promise you an heir, and I'll promise me an heir. And because I can swear by no greater, I'll swear to myself, I'll bring my own heir in. But I'm going to bring him through you. Now you got to get what's happening here. He goes, you got an heir coming, Abraham? I've got an heir coming, and my blessing's already on him. Whew. Man, that's heavy. Now, in Genesis 17, he comes to him and tells him, kings will come out of your loins. That's next week. We're going to trace the lineage of the kings that came out of Abraham from the blessing of Melchizedek, set a succession of kings that came out of his loins. Amazing. Amazing. Oh, man. All right, ready for this? Go to Genesis 22 real quick, and then we're going to end it in Galatians 3. You know we're going there. You know we're going to look at that covenant because Paul got some revelation of this covenant. Oh, man. Just real quick. We're about to close. We've got about an HRC 10 minutes left. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. The second time. By myself I've sworn. By myself I've sworn. By myself I've sworn. To myself I've sworn. Through myself I've sworn. And because I can swear by no greater, I swear to myself I'm going to do it. Saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. See, he got the air in the earth. And God told him, sacrifice the air. And he was willing to do it. And he goes, because you would sacrifice your air, I'm gonna stay your hand, but I will sacrifice mine. And I'll give my air for the life of the world. And when he dies, a whole generation will die with him. A whole dispensation will die. When he comes out of the grave, he's coming out with some new creation. He's coming out with a birth of a king priest, and that government will come out with him, and I'll raise and I'll set him down in my holy mountain. He'll reside as a king and a priest in my holy mountain, and I'll bring the nations up to him, and he'll introduce you to the Father. That's another one. All right, ready? Ready? Read. He said, Lord, because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withhold thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply as the stars of the heaven, sand of the seashore, both covenants right there. Right there. Both of them in there. He already cut the covenant, both promises now, and which is upon the seashore. Now watch this, verse 17. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. The seed that's in your loins, you're going to possess the gates of hell itself. You ready? All right, look at now. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Now, before I show you Galatians chapter 3, I just want you to go to our familiar book of Hebrews real quick. Some of you have not seen this. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm actually winding down. You can believe it. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, very important you understand this, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You know what that word by means? That word by, it means three things: down from, throughout, and toward. Ready for this? Because he could swear by no greater, he swore down from himself into Abraham's loins. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore throughout himself, throughout Abraham's loins. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore toward the seed that was in Abraham. All right. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Speaking of the one, the forerunner, in verse 20, whether the forerunner's maid is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the Melchizedek, because the blessing was on him. All right. Now let's get into the juice. Y'all ready for the juice? Chapter 3 of Galatians. I'm lost in this book right now. I had no idea what we carry around is a whole world in itself. You can get so lost in here that the reality starts getting, it's like, okay, is the reality of this book, because you're getting so full of another reality. And that you look at the reality of the earth, and the Lord said, soon what's coming out of this book and the reality within you will trump the reality of what is without. The reality within will start overtaking the reality without, and that government will birth into what the world considers reality, which is not built on a fallen system, but the reality of the truth of God's government will start clothing the system. Woo! Everyone say, Shaka! Booyah! Ooh-ra-ba-ba-ba! What Shaka mean? It's your introduction. Pray it into Booyah. Bust through with all your might. Galatians 3, verse 16. Hold on to this one here. I'm going to need some props. Amen. Galatians 3, verse 16. Ready for this? And to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed was Christ. He was speaking to his son the whole time. Abraham's, his natural seed, his lineage got in on the promise, but all these promises were folded into one seed, the birth of a latter-day king priest, the final king priest, the one that would carry the DNA of the Father and set his government upon the earth. The restoration of all things, the final heir by which God would call the nations through that heir unto himself, through Christ unto the Father. Verse 17. This I say, the covenant, the one we just looked at, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law of Moses, which was 430 years after the Levitical priesthood, the law that priesthood, that system of priest, 430 years after these promises, cannot disannul what God was doing with a promise, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. All right, you ready? Here's what he's saying here. He said, listen, I gave the promise to the seed. He introduces the law to have temporary fellowship with a nation 430 years later, but that law could not produce that promise of which that heir could produce, because the law could not inherit the heavens. Neither could it get you into the heavens. It didn't have the capacity to change that which you were born with, a fallen nature. That law couldn't overrun that fallen nature. Couldn't you even keep it for 80 years and could not inherit the kind of righteousness that could inherit the Father. It took a brand new law. The law of the Spirit of life. So the law could not disannul the promise. God gave the law. The sacrificial system. He gave all that. We could have temporary fellowship. And he could step into a nation and say, hello. But the law, that's why the Levitical priesthood could not obtain the perfection, Hebrews says. Perfection could not be obtained by the Levitical priesthood. But this one man by which you were forever perfected. This heir could perfect you. The law could not. Amen. That's what he's saying there. The law couldn't obtain the perfection. The promise was still intact. The law could not produce the promise. It didn't disannul the promise either. Just because the law came along, the promise was still intact. Because the law could not produce that heir. All right. Verse 19, hold on. What's packed into these two verses here is quite a lot. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. God instituted it because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. I thought he made the promise to Abraham. It seems here that he was promising to another. Maybe he was swearing to himself. He would do it, father to son, because I can swear by no greater. I'll swear to myself, Abraham, in your loins. There's a son, my son's coming, and I'll swear to him. Because I can swear by no greater. I'll just swear to myself in your loins. All right? Till the seed should come to the promise made, it was ordained by angels in the hand of mediator. Verse 20. Oh, I love it. I love it. I want more of it. Ready this? Verse 20. This is where we end or begin, however you want to look at it. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God. Everyone say, but God is one. All right. I need a father. Yeah, Jerry, come up here. You're a great father. We're going to let Jesus, Chuck, be Jesus. And Michael, you're going to be Abraham. Come up here, Jerry. You got to see this. Okay, you stand here Father, Father. Okay, you're Abraham. You stand in the middle. Stand up just a little bit further. Okay, here's the Son. All right, just bear with Chuck being the Son just for today. Amen. Now a mediator is not a. Who were the promise being made to? To Abraham, but who else? Who was he really speaking to? Him. Who was the Father speaking to in the covenant? He was talking to Abraham, but he was actually speaking through Abraham to this one. This one right here that was going to inherit the king-priest government. He was going to inherit it, you see? He was going to pass through the veil like Melchizedek did. So, a mediator is not a mediator of one. He has to mediate between two parties, but God is one. Come over here, Jesus. God was here. They were one. Okay. But now God had to send him through Abraham's loins. So a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God's one. So Abraham, stand over there, is going to come up. Abraham is going to mediate a covenant between the Father and the Son. Okay. He's about to mediate. This is what was going on in Genesis 14. Abraham's mediating between the Father and the Son. That's why he put him to sleep. He said, Abraham, you don't know what's going on here. I am going to mediate. Now watch this. Because I, the Father, can swear by no greater. I can't even swear by Abraham. I'll swear to my Son. Seed singular in your loins, I swear to you, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying and I'll multiply, and you will possess the gates of the enemies, and because the DNA is in you, you will be born, and the whole world will be conformed into you, and you'll birth a brand new government, a king-priest government will come into the earth. Oh, hallelujah, thank you. Thank you, Father, Son, and Abraham. You see that? Because he swears by no greater. He swears to himself, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. So Christ inherits the blessing of the Melchizedek government. When he inherits the blessing of the Melchizedek government, he ascends into his Father. Guess what? We inherited the Melchizedek government because it was in his DNA. And that DNA is in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Melchizedek done already went through the generation and that government's in us. David's government was in us. Solomon's government was in us. And he said, I say unto you, even greater than Solomon is here. And now all of that government, the king priest government's in us. God finished the covenant, and that government's about to multiply. I will surely multiply you. See, when the kingdom of God is increased in divine multiplication, he's about to multiply that government, that the kings will multiply, the wealth will multiply, the glory will multiply, the revelation will multiply, the power will multiply, the priesthood will multiply, the glory will multiply. I decree the release of that government into the earth that is within us. Out of our belly shall flow rivers, rivers of government, rivers of the king priest anointing, the kingly anointing coming out, the priestly anointing coming out, the government flowing out of our belly, flowing out of our belly, flowing glory, flowing demonstration. Flowing revelation. The wealth of the nations flowing through our gates. Flowing through the gates. For we sit. We've inherited the right hand of the Father as joint heirs. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. That government is in us. It is on us. And it's releasing through us in this hour. Called after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.